The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew Podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today and tomorrow, we're going to do something a little bit different. I was sent a video by a friend of mine named Olivia, who is a fellow teacher, and the video is entitled The Case Against the Jedi Order. The video focuses, it's a 25-minute video essay, and it focuses on the philosophy espoused by the various Jedi in George Lucas's Star Wars movies, meaning the original three and then the three prequels. And the video argues that the Jedi advocate a philosophy and an ethics or an approach to life that is emotionally unhealthy and destructive. And the video makes some pretty good arguments, but the video also uses the term Stoicism four or five times to describe this Jedi philosophy. And in the name of clarifying and defending Stoicism and criticizing Stoicism, I'd like to share my thoughts on that. I don't know if Olivia shared this with me because I'm a movie guy in general and you know, use movies in my teaching, or whether it's because of the Stoicism aspect, or it's because I've been posting prequel Torah memes for the last 2 months. But either way, I wanted to devote two episodes to this. In this episode, we're going to focus on some statements made by Yoda. And in the next episode, we're going to focus on a statement made by Obi-Wan. Each of these statements reflects different errors, in my opinion, or different points that are worthy of criticism. So the first quotation from Yoda is really from, it's really a dialogue between Yoda and Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, in the third episode, episode three. And I guess I should say spoiler alert, but I think it's been long enough that you can't blame me if I spoil these Star Wars movies. So Anakin has been having dreams of his wife Padme dying, suffering, you know, unclear in the dream. And he goes to Yoda to express his concerns and to ask how to deal with it. But he doesn't tell Yoda who the dream is about, because Yoda doesn't know that he's married. Because according to the Jedi Order, then Jedi are not allowed to fall in love or be married. And the video talks at length about that. I'm not going to dwell on that right now. So because I can't do a good Yoda impression, I'm just going to play this clip from the video. It's a little bit longer than 1 minute. So here is Yoda talking to Anakin.
Premonitions. These visions you have.
They're of pain, suffering, death.
Yourself you speak of, or someone you know?
Someone.
Close to you?
Yes.
Careful you must be when sensing the future, Anakin. The fear of loss is a path to the dark side.
I won't let these visions come true, Master Yoda.
Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. Attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is.
What must I do, Master Yoda?
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Okay, so in case the audio didn't come out, the three key lines that Yoda said are, the fear of loss is a path to the dark side. Secondly, he said, death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. Attachment leads to jealousy, the shadow of greed, that is. And then the final thing he said is, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. So the question is this a faithful representation of Stoic philosophy or not? So the answer is yes and no. Yes, I think it is a faithful representation of Epictetus's Stoicism. No, I do not think that it is a faithful representation of Seneca's Stoicism. And I acknowledge that I've said this many times. I'm still in the process of learning about both of them. This is just my understanding at this point. So let me read you an excerpt from Epictetus's handbook. This is in the Enchiridion chapter 3, and I think I've read parts of this excerpt before, but I think I've actually deliberately avoided reading the entire thing because I didn't want to give Stoicism a bad name early on in the podcast. So here's what the excerpt, or here's what the chapter 3 says. With respect to any of those things you find attractive or useful or have a fondness for, recall to mind what kind of thing it is, beginning with the most trifling. Okay, good advice so far. Now he gives two examples. So if you are fond of an earthenware pot, say, I am fond of an earthenware pot, then you will not be upset if it gets broken. Okay, makes sense. I think I quoted this in my Subaru denting episode. Then he says, when you kiss your child or wife, say that you are kissing a human being. Then, should they die, you will not be distressed. Whoa there. Okay, so that is different than an earthenware pot. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a second. Okay, but then he also says in chapter 7, here's another example. He says, just as on a voyage when the ship has anchored, if you go ashore to get water, you may also pick up a shellfish or a vegetable from the path, but you should keep your thoughts fixed on the ship and you should not look, and you should look back frequently in case the captain calls. And if he should call, you must give up all these other things to avoid being bound and thrown on board like sheep. So in life also, if instead of a vegetable and a shellfish, you are given a wife and a child, nothing will prevent you from taking them. But if the captain calls, give up all these things and run to the ship without even turning to look back. And if you are old, do not even go far from the ship, lest you are missing when the call comes. So this is really what I object to in Epictetus. So on the one hand, logically speaking, he has a point, right? Is that an earthenware vessels break and human beings die. And just as you shouldn't get upset when something breakable breaks, because that's the natural thing, especially if it has to happen, so too, logically, you shouldn't get upset when a human being dies, because that's what humans do. But the mistake, I think, is the fact that it does not factor in the reality of the you know, the magnitude of emotional, excuse me, different the degree of emotional difference there is between an attachment to an earthenware pot and an attachment to a human being. And again, I think if we compare this to halacha, then we see the, hold on just a second here. I actually got up the wrong source. We see that halacha does draw a healthy balance between the two. So this is the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Avil, the laws of mourning, chapter 13, halacha 12. Oh, sorry, halacha 11. So he says, al yiskashe adam al meso yeser midai. A person should not be, literally make himself harsh or difficult over his dead loved one, literally his dead, more A person should not take the death of someone in an overly harsh way. Shenemar, as it says, Al tiv kulumes al tanudulo. It says in Yirmiyahu, I don't know the context, don't cry over the dead and don't be moved by him. I guess I did not look that up. Klomar, yes or me die, which doesn't mean don't cry at all. It means excessively. Shezehu min hago sha'olam. This is the way of the world. V'hametzar atma al min hago olam harzeh tipesh. Someone who is afflicted or suffers because of the way of the world is an idiot. Ella ketad yaseh. Rather, what should a person do? Shlosha lebechi, 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped, 7 for eulogizing, shloshim yom letispors l'shar ha'chamisha, and 30 days for what we call shloshim, you know, for the procedure, the restrictions that follow for 30 days after the death. Then in the next halacha, he says, kol mi shlomis abo kamo shetivu chachamim, anyone who does not mourn as the sages commanded, harze achzari, this person is cruel. Ella yifchad v'yidag v'fashbesh b'masa v'yachzer b'tshuva. Rather, a person should fear and worry and analyze his actions and return in teshuva. You know, change his actions. V'echad mi b'nei chabur shemes tidag kol chabur kula. And when one member of the fellowship dies, then the entire group should be worried. So I'm not going to talk about that last part, but you see from here like this. On the one hand, the Rambam is saying something similar to Epictetus, which is that this is the way of the world. People die, and you shouldn't. If you are upset about the way of the world, then you're an idiot. However, that is if you do it excessively. But Chachamim, the Chazal, set forth parameters for our mourning: 3 days for crying, 7 days for eulogizing, 30 days for the observances of Shloshim. And if you don't mourn in accordance with that, so then you're considered cruel or indifferent, which means that you're denying a certain part of your human nature, and it's an inhuman type of thing. Now, we can talk about what the effects of that are another time, but I think that is what is unrealistic about Epictetus's brand of Stoicism. that he's not sufficiently taking into account the human dimension. And how exactly do you differentiate between the two? I mean, what is the difference between an earthenware pot and a human being? And how do I logically separate between the two? That I'm not sure about. You know, I agree that it is rational to moderate your expectations in a manner that you won't be upset excessively, but I don't know how to define what would be considered excessive when you're dealing with human nature and those parts of human nature that cannot or shouldn't be changed versus those parts of human nature that can be changed and should be changed. So that's an open question, but I think that it is something to critique, something I'm critical of. The other thing that I wanted to bring up here is something that I've quoted fairly recently in Seneca's letter number 9. Again, I mentioned that I don't think Seneca would agree with this, and my main reason for believing that is he says he's describing the sage of the Cynics, I believe, and he says there is this difference between ourselves and the other school. Our ideal wise man feels his troubles but overcomes them. Their wise man does not even feel them, and I think that is a criticism of this, you know, this misunderstanding of Stoicism, that Stoics don't feel things, that Stoics, or even worse, that Stoics suppress or bury their feelings, as we'll talk about tomorrow with Obi-Wan. And I don't think that that's what Stoicism is getting at least not in Seneca. And I think largely that's a misunderstanding of Epictetus as well, is what they're trying to do is they're trying to take feelings that are destructive or that can successfully be changed into more productive ways of living or more tranquil or happier ways of experiencing life, and trying to suggest methods for how to make those changes. And that's different than denying or suppressing your feelings. Okay, I'm already going a little bit over time, but I guess I just want to make one more point here, because this I wanted to focus on Yoda. Another criticism of Yoda that the video talks about is this famous line here. So this is Yoda.
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
So in a sense, that's true. In a sense, that's false, right? Because fear involves typically involves things that are outside of your control. And again, the opening line of Epictetus' Enchiridion is that there are things that are in your control and there are things that are not in your control. I'm paraphrasing here. And if you strive to control those things that are not in your control, then you're going to end up being miserable. And that's really where it ends up with suffering. Well, anger, hate, I don't know about hate, but anger and suffering, you know? So in that sense, it's true. But again, there are things that are rational to fear. I mean, even the Stoics presumably would agree that succumbing to an irrational fantasy is something that is worthy of fearing, because it is something that is a true loss. You know, if you lose the ability to keep your mind in a tranquil, realistic state, and you let yourself get out of control, that is a real loss, so to speak, or it is real harm, according to the Stoics, because the only real goods and evils are how you use your will. Or let's say in our case, and I know we use the term fear differently, but we have fear of Hashem, you know? Again, obviously fear of Hashem is different than fear of a particular physical phenomenon. But, you know, I think the mistake that Yoda is making here, which the video elaborates on, is this kind of like domino chain reaction feeling that if you allow yourself to feel any emotion, then that's just going to lead to disaster. And one of the points that the video makes as well is that anytime Anakin in the prequels experiences an emotion, then it is portrayed as a weakness, and there's always this threat looming that it's going to lead him to go out of control and fall into the arms of anger and hatred. And again, I don't think that that's how Seneca would view things. Again, Epictetus is a different matter, maybe, but Seneca does talk about his feelings with Lucilius in his letters, and he strives to not run away from them, but to really feel them and learn from them. And I think that is something that is an under recognized part of Stoicism. Again, I think because Stoicism gets a bad rap of like concealing your feelings. Okay, I've definitely gone over time now and started to ramble. And also this typically happens when I record at night, but you know what? That's the only time I had today. So that's when I did it. That's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Link is in the description. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.